Hello, and welcome back to our Queer Experience podcast. I am one of your hosts, Andre, and I'm joined here by Bruce. How are you doing today, Bruce?
I am good, buddy. How are you, man?
I'm surviving. School's kicking my butt
yeah.
right now, but round two is about to begin, and I'm ready to go.
Man, I'm looking forward to springtime. It's the middle of March. It's got to be warming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling good about things. You have spring break next
yeah.
week, don't you, man? Yeah.
I do. I could just spend it writing because grad school is fun.
Yeah. Not going to go to Mexico or
but
anything?
I'm right outside.
Okay, that's
I'll,
something.
I'll go to the park to write, so that's something.
Awesome. Who do we have with us today?
Oh, we have an educator, a technologist, an engineer, a musician, an athlete, and a bull rider. Little do you know, though, this is all in one amazing person. We are joined today by Brianna Knight, who is the Director of Outreach for Maiden Global in Denver, Colorado. She is known for her innovations both in technology, but also in music, and also in the gay rodeo scene, which is, I think, three amazing and beautifully different arenas to dominate. she has spoken at summits across the nation and will probably be coming to a city near you to either conquer a bull, conquer a concert stage, concert a tech venue, or all three. So welcome, Brianna. We're so happy to have you.
Hey, guys. How you doing? That's quite the intro. Thank you. I feel like so important.
I think you're our first person from the Mountain Time Zone, which is pretty exciting.
Awesome. Glad to pop that bubble for you.
So tell us about sort of your journey. How did you go from being a child to being like world conqueror that you are today?
How did I go from being a child to the world conqueror? Well, it's a story of humble beginnings. No. So I'm originally from California. I definitely grew up in a very Christian family setting, and you know, I had supportive parents that, you know, were making sure that I was the athlete that I wanted to be, and the musician, and like just a good person that they always hoped that I would be. And then living the SoCal dream. And then I went to college, and then I definitely went to a very Christian university, and long and behold, that's where I found out that I was that big G word, gay. And then it was a very dirty, nasty word in my time. And so I actually stayed at the university in California for about 3.5 years, and then lo and behold, I had this brilliant idea that I should transfer. And so my parents were livid, you know, like, you, like, we've been sending you to this private institution, and now you're going to transfer school. First, I'll go to a state school, and in that state school, pay out-of-state tuition. Are you mad, child? And he's like, apparently I am. And so I moved to Colorado, and then, you know, like, that was one of, like, the best decisions that I'd ever made in my life. It was also, like, quite a shock. You know, going from a very small Christian, like, liberal arts school, that, like, our new student orientation was they called it, like, the freshman mugging. And, you know, it's like, ooh, we're going to go to a mugging. And it's like, what? Like, why is that a funny thing? Anyway, but basically what they did was they gave us all these little beer mugs. And so, like, ooh, we're drinking out of beer mugs. Like, look at us, like, bad, dirty Christians, like, drinking out of beer mugs. And then we watched, they gave us beer mugs, and we made Rip Your Float. And we watched some PG movie on like this inflatable screen, like out in the front of the school. And I mean, sure, it's like it was a very pretty campus, and so like making the best of the nature, or the best of the natural setting. So it's like, okay, this is cute. The freshman mugging, root beer floats in a movie, cute. And so that was like that was one of the big events for our new student orientation. And then when I transferred to Colorado to see Boulder, the big event for the student orientation, so I had to go again as a new student, was like, welcome to the soap and suds party. Let's go out in the basement and everybody gets wet. I'm like, what? and I'm like, not in Kansas anymore. Okay. And it was just like going from, you know, root beer floats to like everybody grinding in soap. I didn't go to the party, but it was a very interesting dynamic, which basically like set the mood for what Colorado was going to do for me. And basically it was just like lift the rules and the regulations and like figure out who you are and go down this route, and things are going to be far more pleasant.
So the move to Colorado kind of is what broke you out of your shell to live an authentic life for yourself, or at least explore what that could be.
Yeah. Because, cool. Like, being back in California, like, my family was there. I wasn't out. I came out at a Christian retreat, and, like, at this retreat, like, I was given a rubber band to wear around my wrist to pop myself, to, like, kind of train myself out of those thoughts. And my family... Like, I knew that there was going to be some difficulty around accepting that aspect of me. And so, like, I wasn't out to my family. I wasn't really out to my friends, but it's not like I had a bunch of friends to be out to anyway. So moving to Colorado was a very new beginning. Like, nobody knew me. I wasn't concerned if, the fellow Christian roommates and classmates were going to see me at the grocery store, like holding hands with my girlfriend or something like that, and like worried about like being in the closet and like having that be like having like, you know, homosexuality be grounds for like expulsion. Like that was a cloud that, you know, prevented me from being able to really feel comfortable and to like want to experience and do things that, you know, were exciting to me. Yeah, going to Colorado, like, and here's like an absolute, like, clean slate. Go and really invent yourself.
Sounds like an ad for Colorado. We are not sponsored by the Colorado Tourism Board, by the way.
That would be awesome, though.
Yes, we're not opposed to it. So you transferred to UC Boulder, was able to more explore and be yourself, and then since then you just kept growing and being awesome.
In a way. Let's see. When I moved to Colorado, I was in a relationship and, you know, still kind of holding on to like the aspects of basically my previous life. So like I was still kind of restrained by those aspects of like, you know, drinking, like hitting, like drinking, having a beer at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That was a new thing for me. And like, you know, all my friends were like, yeah, we're going to go for this like epic hike and then we'll like stop by a local brewery. And I'm like, a brewery, like, is that different from a bar? Or and like you're not supposed to drink that early. That means something's wrong, you know.
Yes.
And so needing to shape like anything that I held to be true about life. Once I, like, the relationship that I moved to Colorado with, like, that ended. Like, we're still friends, so it's cool. But I was still pretty lonely. Like, not that I was lonely. I didn't have a strong social network. Prior to even moving to Colorado, I had my dog Shakespeare, and I was reading reptiles and watching sci-fi. Like that was like a really nice Friday night hanging out with my lizards. Anyway, when I came to Colorado, I know. And then breaking up with my first partner, like my social network was very, very limited. And like I didn't even have a dog at this point. I had to leave my dog at home. Because of pit bull restrictions. And so I was like, I got a cat. but what really helped my life make a 180 was I joined a band. I joined Gora Gora Orchestra. And it was by joining this band, like I met most of them in school. Most of us are all like just music college buddies. And so we joined this band, and like that was the first time that I really felt like I had connected with people, that I'd like found my people. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still have like a few buddies from high school that I talk to, but like nothing.
Yeah.
And I didn't really make close personal friends at the first university, and then even at in Boulder, I was very concerned about the work that I was doing, and so I was very focused there. And not really attending like any of the social events, which is why I didn't go to that soap party. But joining Gora, I found my people like that were weird, quirky, talented, and open, and were receptive to the oddities that I had to offer. And like they found, I was able like they found a home for me. And so, like, once I joined them and was accepted for, like, all the bizarre urges and cravings and things that came out of my mouth, it gave me a very very solid foundation. From that foundation, I realized that, like, if I want to do something, I can do it. And so like having just like that solid footwork to plant on allowed me to really set a new rule for myself, was that I was no longer going to ask like what if, like if I was interested in something, I was going to try it out. And so because I had that footing, I was able to establish the confidence to go out and explore. Explore these things. And so, yeah, like Gora Gora is like probably the most influential group that I've been associated with that really helped pave the way for like who and what it is that I found out that I could do. Yeah, and it was also like kind of just like an interesting story to like compare like the first gig that I ever played with them to like me playing with them now. Like I showed up to my first gig. You know, like I'm still like is this classical trombonist, like going like all these orchestra concerts, symphonic concerts, like all this stuff, and I've got my concert dress like down to a T. And so like I show up for like a bar gig, like all black, like you know black pants, the belt that matches the shoes, because I'm still a little gay. And then like there's like the finally fitted black shirt that's still like buttoned, and like, oh, I'm feeling fancy tonight, so I'll wear my ascot to really add a little pizzazz. And then like I see the rest of the band, I'm like, oh, these people are like hip. They're wearing like vesty shit.
I love that this your like level for hip is, oh, they're wearing vests.
Yeah, at the time, right? And so we go to play this music, and I'm like, you people are dancing. That's an abomination to this craft that we've so like we worked so like hard and diligently on to master. Like, you're going to ruin your tone, you're going to ruin your sound, like all this stuff. I'm like, stop moving so frivolously, right? to now, and it's just like, oh, I don't have half my clothes on. That's okay. Let's play some more.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and like all sorts of dancing. So
wow.
that was my transition.
Wow, that's amazing. And I can definitely feel for you as you transitioned from being like a classical musician to being a bit more looser for gigs and such. That's great. It's something a lot of my musician friends went through. Those who went professional,
yeah.
At least. That's,
yeah.
That's amazing. So are you out to your family, or are you still, like, is that just a part of your life you don't, like, you compartmentalize in a different way?
No. I came out to my family. I probably came out just, in comparison to my friends, I probably came out a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's never too early, it's never too late. But I came out at probably about, like, 23 or 24. And I would say that just, you know, in regards to kind of, like, romantic situations and understanding, like, all that side of, you know, that very human, sensual, I was very, very much so behind the curve. Kind of like late blooming, because just like my social skills were like super off and very, very introverted, lots of anxiety and not wanting to deal with social situations, but still enjoying these things that kind of made it difficult not to be in in these situations, like being a musician, kind of. Or at least, like, being, you know, like, playing, like, outside of, like, orchestral situations where you really need to engage with an audience and, you know, be receptive to, you know, people trying to connect with you from, like, from the stage. So, yeah.
That's cool. So you... that challenge kind of gave you the courage you needed to kind of start living more out loud in different facets of your life.
Yeah, I would say so. Because if I hadn't gone, like if I wasn't a musician, I think it would probably have been very easy for me to stay, you know, comfortably in a more introverted lifestyle. I mean, because I was a double major in music as well as art history. I could get away most of the time just reading and just kind of only engaging in small discussions. You know, occasionally have just like a bigger presentation, but you know, it's very different, like relaying information that is very well rehearsed. And you're not necessarily concerned with, like, public perception other than, like, you know, look nice, show up on time, you know, you're done. Not like,
yeah.
Hey, if I shake my hips this way, are you gonna care more about, you know, the guys, like, pretty dancing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I being a musician kind of forced me out of that comfort.
Cool beans. So how did you get into bull riding?
So there's like a couple of different angles that kind of conglomerate
really?
Together as to like why I became a bull rider. First off, like the first desire came like as a very young child. You know, like PBR was gaining some traction, like the Professional Bull Riders Association was gaining traction. It was, you know, being shown on basic or on TV, like regular TV stations, you know, like.
Yeah.
And so I still remember this day that I was leaning up against my bed and there was a final that was on and I was watching the bull riders and I'm like, I'm probably like 7. And I'm like, I think I could do that. I totally think I could do that. And like, But I'd always had like a fascination with like cowboy culture, and my parents were great, and my mom was awesome. Like, you know, would make like the most elaborate like handmade cowboy costumes for me.
Wow.
Growing up, and like even having like cowboy themed birthday parties, and like hiring and being very sure to like have, you know, like black cowboys like show up at the party like with their horses to like do demonstrations and then take all my friends for rides, and I still have like pictures of me just like running around as a kid with like, you know, like little holsters and like cowboy hat and like cowboy jean shorts and like cowboy boots, you know, like running around. And so like from a very young age, you know, like that had always been like implanted in my head. And then as I got a little bit older, I was at my university in California,
mm-hmm.
and I had a Netflix account. And so I was watching, I got a suggestion, like a suggestion popped up of like movies that would interest me. And there was one, a logo video that popped up, and oh my goodness, I can't remember the name of it, but there's basically two movies out about the gay rodeo called Queens and Cowboys, which is awesome, and you and your listeners should watch it. But there's another one that's not that one, and I can't remember the name of it. Oh man, but so this pops up on my like recommended suggestions, and I was like, "Gay rodeo? What? Like this is a thing?" Okay, so like I'm like definitely gonna check this out. But then at this time I wasn't heavily involved in tech, and so you know I just had like paranoid fears about, oh man, like my university is gonna know that I'm looking at this title, and that it's gonna be like shipped to my campus mailbox, and they're gonna know, and I'm gonna be in trouble. And they're just like, okay, come on, like realistically, you know that's nowhere near possible. It's like I know, but still, these are the wonderful conversations I have with myself, by the way. but
very common for many of us.
And so I finally get the video, and like it comes like on a Friday night, and I'm just like, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing, you know. So I go to my campus mailbox, I take out the DVD, and I'm just like, okay, I gotta put it in my bag. Nobody can see this. Like I haven't even opened it. Like how would anybody possibly know? So I go back to my apartment, and I close the door, I lock my door, and I close my blind, and I put my DVD in, and I'm like, and I'm just hooked. And so basically, like, this movie follows these two guys, like Chuck and Todd, and like they're competing for all-around cowboy. But they, like, to be all-around cowboy, you have to, like, compete in, like, roping events, rough stock events, and, like, one of the camp events. And so, for the rough stock events, like, they're riding bulls, like, and steers and broncs and all this stuff. And so like they're going at it, competing. And then I get online, and I'm like trying to find like where the quote, like the next closest like gay rodeo would be. And and the next one that was coming up wasn't going to be for like another year. And it was going to be, I think it was at that time, it was only going to be in San Francisco, because the one that they had in LA was done. So I was like, okay, well, that doesn't really help me. And so then I started looking up like other rodeo schools where I could learn how to bull ride. And they were like the next one that was coming up at the time was like in Tennessee, like basically in the South. And it's just like, okay, I'm not getting there. So I just kind of put that in the back of my head. And then fast forward a couple of years, I finally moved to, like, I guess fast forward, like, 6 years, and I finally moved to Colorado. And I'm at a friend's graduation party. And I see this guy, and he's wearing some nice boots. And so, like, I comment, and I say, you know, like, hey, really nice boots. And you know, in typical gay man fashion, he's just like, oh, these are the boots that I usually just work in. But I appreciate that you think they're nice. So I'm like, they are. and so, like, we get to talking, and he's, yeah, like, these are the boots that I usually volunteer. I wear to volunteer at the gay rodeo. And I was like, oh, the gay rodeo? You know, I mean, and he's like, yeah, like the gay rodeo. I'm like, you're kidding. You know, like I watched this like documentary like years ago, and I've always been interested. He's like, well, you should sign up to be a volunteer too. And I was like anyone can do that? He's like, oh yeah, they like absolutely need volunteers. And I was like, done. And so that evening, I go home, get online again. I see that there's a gay rodeo coming up at the Jeffco Fairgrounds, and it's like 20 minutes away from like where I'm living, and you can just sign up to be a volunteer. So I sign up, I email like the head guy, and I'm like, hey, I've never done it before, but like, I hope I can help. He's like, oh yeah. Like I'll meet you at the rodeo, like when it comes in a couple months, and we'll go from there. I'm like, fantastic. And so in the meanwhile, I go on a road trip with some buddies of mine, and like one of the guys is, in my band, and so we decided to go to Nashville and then to New Orleans, and we're hanging out in Nashville where there's like door that is buy one pair get two pair free or something.
What?
And so there's three of us, so we're like, let's do it. So we all like spend like half a day just like picking out boots. and so we drove, like it was a road trip, and so when we're actually like driving back, you know, I say to my friend like Tung, who runs Gora Gora, I'm like, hey man, I think we should make Gora Gora wear Western wear for our get up for whenever time the band plays. And he's like, I like it. And then he sends an email to the rest of the band, and like the whole rest of the band's like in agreement that we were struggling with, like, what to wear. Like, before, it was, like, what I thought was super cool, like, wearing vests. But, like, that was years ago. Like, I'd finally come into my prime at this point. Like, so we needed something a little bit cooler than just vests. So, like, do Western wear. We're from Colorado. Like, that's what people think we do. everybody in the band agrees that, yeah, we should wear Western wear. And then, so I'm, like, I need a buckle. But I'm like, you can't just go buy a buckle. You gotta earn it. And so I'm like,
okay.
I'm gonna get a buckle to wear for this band from like writing. I'm gonna earn my buckle from writing. And so then the gay rodeo comes up, and Rich, who was like the volunteer coordinator and also like running the whole show, you know, he takes me under his wing. Like he gets me like all situated with what to do with the rodeo, like how to do it. And then, but then we have a moment where he's just kind of staring at me. It's kind of late. And he's like, you look like you want to do more than just volunteer. And
it's a shipping movie.
He's like, what do you want to do? And then like internally, I'm just like, oh my God, should I tell him? What if I tell him he thinks I'm an idiot? Like an idiot shouldn't be on a bull, but maybe an idiot should be on a bull. Like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, so like, all this like internal conflict of like what to do. Like, do I tell him what I want, or do I like, you know, just like play it off cool? Like, I'll, you know, figure it out later. And then like before I could even really conclude my answer, I want to ride bulls. So it came like jutting out of my mouth. Me just, you know, there's this moment of him like looking stunned, but he's like, you know, it's a moment of kind of stunned, but like, I knew something was hiding under, like lurking underneath the surface. And he's just like, okay, you want to ride bulls? I'm like, mm-hmm, that's what I want to do. He's like, okay, well, let me introduce you to some people. And so, he takes me to meet, it's one gentleman, like Wilma. And then he like introduces me to like a few other people. And so like throughout the rodeo, like people now know that I want to be a bull rider. And so like during certain events, they're like, hey, Brianna, you know, like come back behind the chute. So like you can see, like, how people are getting set up and what it looks like. I'm like, okay, cool. And so I'm doing this throughout the whole entire weekend. And on the last day of the rodeo, there was, like, a banquet dinner. And so I could go to the dinner, and I'm, like, sitting at a table that, like, one of, like, the previous bull riders, like, introduced me to some other people. And he's like, yeah, like, why don't you sit at this table here? And, like, so we're sitting, we're eating. And then there's this guy who's sitting, like, right across from me. And I'm like, I cannot stop staring at him. I mean, I'm like, sure. Mm-hmm. He's, like, a handsome cowboy, you know. He's got these piercing blue eyes and this, like, really strong build. yeah.
Isn't to Oklahoma.
And, you know, so we get to talking, and but I'm still staring at him. But, like, internally, again, I'm just like, I really hope he knows that I'm, like, real gay. And, like, basically, like, my head is just, like, trying to figure out why I know his face. And then, like, then it finally dawns on me. I'm like, wait a minute. You said your name is Chuck. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, did you make, like, a documentary about, like, I don't know, like, 6-7 years ago? And he's like, oh, ha, 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 you saw that. I'm like, oh, it's Chuck Browning. Like, I, like, you are the reason why I'm in gay rodeo. And, like, I mean, like, internally, it was just, like, this volcanic eruption of, like, I just met, like, my cowboy hero. But, like, externally, I was, like, cooler than a bowl of beans sitting on a windowsill. But, you know, just, like, and it was just, like, this was such an amazing opportunity, like, of, like, 6 years, like, in the making of wanting to get to the gay rodeo, and not only get to the gay rodeo, the reason why I know about the gay rodeo is because of this man sitting in front of me. And then, like, so I finally got to meet Chuck, and he's just like, oh, hey, yeah, you know, like, he points over his shoulder, and he's like, you know, that's Todd over there. I'm like, oh, my God. This is, like, the best night of my cowboy life. And and then, yeah, like, and ever since then, you know, I've gotten writing tips from Todd, and Chuck has almost pulled every rope for every bull that I've been on.
Wow.
And so, and then I got on my first steer at the next rodeo, and a steer is a castrated bull, and so, like, that is what kind of began my transition into becoming a bull rider.
Wow. That's amazing. So you met your heroes, and it worked out, which is awesome. Oh, my gosh, we're out of time. But fear not, dear listeners. We're going to have you on the back again. Yes. We'll have this will be a two-part episode, so make sure to come back so you can hear the rest of this amazing lady's tell. Until next time, bye, y'all.